Well, good morning again. Thank you for those watching online. And if you're here for the first time, we want to give you a special welcome. A great day to be here. That video is something that I will be at in a couple weeks. Yeah, a vacation. How many have already been on vacation? Oh, a few of you. Yep, people who visited Hawaii got back safely. How many are planning a vacation? I can raise my hand on that. All right, great. Okay. Vacations are important, aren't they? Most of us go on vacation during the summer. And I think many of the workers, especially Susan and her assistants, will need a vacation after this week. But we look forward to this week. And I applaud every one of you who are involved in having a part of that. It's a great week. You want to keep praying throughout the week and pray that it won't be thunderstorm every night, you know, because we do have a tent out here that we want to use during the week, and so we want to pray for that. Jesus was a promoter of vacations. Did you know that? In Mark 6, it says this, the apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all they had done and taught. And then Jesus said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. So he encouraged people, hey, you've been working hard, it's time to rest. Now, if you keep reading, it didn't happen really well. Because this is if you keep reading in that passage, that's when the crowds kept following Jesus and there was 5,000 men and Jesus fed them with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But Jesus was a promoter of taking a day off, getting some rest, getting some physical rest. And if you do this a little bit of a search, you realize that a rest helps, they say, helps prevent heart health and helps prevent heart disease and reduces stress and anxiety and depression. They say it increases your satisfaction in life, having a vacation, having a rest, increases productivity and helps you focus when you get back. And some even say you could even fall in love with your job again. Now, I don't know if that's true of everybody, because some people really don't like their job, I guess. I don't know. I love my job here, but I don't really call it a job. I call it a ministry. But this morning, I want to suggest that a different type of vacation. I'm going to suggest some things for a vacation of the heart, for your heart. A vacation for your heart. Now, I have to confess that this didn't really originate with me. I was looking at this passage in Mark the other day, and I saw like an asterisk next to this verse, and down below there were 5 things that were suggested for a vacation of the heart. And I said, you know, it's summertime. I'd like to share that. And there was no name to it next to it. And I said, you know what? This looks like some points that Pastor Blasco would share. And when I asked him that, sure enough, it was. So I'm going to share. He didn't give me his notes, so I have to build a little bit on this. But the main points, except for one, and I'll mention which one I've added to it. And so we're going to talk about 6 things that might be a vacation for your heart. And then I'm going to finish with one more verse. So when we're talking about our heart, we're of course not talking about that thing that we can feel beating in our body. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about that area of us that we can't see. It's the part of us that has the emotions, that has the idea where we make decisions. It's our soul, our spirit, and where we make our reasoning you know, some passages in the scripture mention that it's kind of the control center of who we really are. It's a word that shows up in various ways, both 150 times, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. So it really stresses the importance of our inner being. And sometimes as we go through life, our inner being gets kind of busy and gets kind of filled up with things that can cause us anxiety and stress. And so there's times that we need to have a vacation for our heart. And the interesting thing is, a vacation for our heart can be at any time, can it? We don't have to go to a certain place. We can actually do it when we have some quiet time by ourselves. So the first thing that I'm going to suggest, and there's more than these six, is to choose what you fear the most, and leave it with the Lord. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." There's many places in the Scripture that talk about fearing. And in this letter to Timothy, Paul's writing to him, and he's a young man, and he's maybe beginning the ministry that God has called him to in the city of Ephesus. And Paul is telling him, you know, you might be fearful, but God has not given us the spirit of fear or timidity. Now, what was Timothy could be afraid of? Well, he looked at Paul and he saw what Paul has gone through as he went from city to city and preaching the gospel and some of the things that's happened to him. And he go, whoa, I don't want those things to happen to me. But Paul says, you know, he still hasn't given you that fear. He says, whether the fear would come from the government, because the government wasn't conducive to Christianity at the time. As a matter of fact, they were against it because you were supposed to worship Caesar. Caesar was God, not Jesus Christ. And true believers would not consent to worshiping Caesar. So it could come from the government. It could come from false teachers that challenged Timothy and saying, hey, you're not telling the right things. This is what you... And Timothy would have to say, well, wait a minute. No, that's not what Paul taught me, and that's not what the Scriptures in the Old Testament teach. So he could be afraid of some false teachers. And then, believe it or not, there might be some disgruntled people within the church of Ephesus that would give him some problems. And those are just some of the things that Timothy might have faced in a fear. But Paul says, no, we have power and love and a sound mind or self-discipline. There's other verses that talk about this as well. It says, Isaiah 41:10 says, "Don't be afraid, for I'm with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you with my victorious right hand." So what are some fears that you may have today? You know, one of the things that I've been thinking about recently is the number of my grandchildren are beginning to get more. I have 2.5 right at the moment. One's due in November. And I often think, what is the world going to be like for my grandchildren? That worries me a little bit. And I got to think, well, wait a minute. You know, the Lord's still in control. And He's going to help them when they trust in Him, when they follow Him. And my son and daughter-in-law are helping them understand what the Lord has done for them. But we have certain fears. You know, we look at the news and the current events kind of can cause us to have some intrepidation. There's health issues that we might have, that we might fear have coming down the road. And all these things can cause us to have some fear. But Paul tells us we shouldn't have fear. And the writer of Hebrews says, he talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. "For God has said, I will never leave you, never fail you, never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. So I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me?" I remember a long time ago. Now, Pastor Kyle and I have a little bit of a funny thing going on. When I say a few years ago, usually it means before he came here. And so he asked me, what do you mean by a few? Oh, yeah, well, okay, it's more than 15 years because he's been here 15 years. But there was one time where there was a man stood up and gave a testimony. And some of you might remember Bill Tabbert. He stood up and he said something like this. He says, you know, I used to worry an awful lot and I used to fear a lot. And it would keep me from getting some sleep. And then I remembered something. He says, Jesus is up all night. I'll just give him my worries and fears and let him worry about it so I can get some sleep. I thought that was pretty interesting. So, Psalm 56, 3 and 4, this one's not on the screen, says, but when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. I will praise God for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? So it certainly seems like the writer of Hebrews took that verse and moved it into the next New Testament. So the first thing is to give your fear, pick out your worst fear and give it to the Lord. The second way in which you can give your heart a vacation is choose your worst fault and confess it. You know, we all fail at times, and sometimes we fail at something regularly. And when we recognize we failed, we feel bad, we feel guilty, and we forget at times that we need to confess our sin to the Lord. And he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness or unrighteousness. This is one of those verses that I learned early in my Christian life. Maybe I needed to use it a lot. I'm not sure. But, you know, it's one of those verses that stick with me. Because, and this is part of the reason, I think that we get stuck because we fail and we fail. And the devil whispers in our ear, you're a failure. Give it up. You call yourself a follower of Jesus and you do that? Chuck it. Forget it. And that's how we can be defeated, when we listen to Satan instead of listening to the Lord. And the Lord says, come to me, confess your sin, say what I confess is the idea of saying the same thing about it that God does. Don't try to cover it over. Say, yep, I failed God, I sinned against God, and he will forgive us. But you might say, you know, I'm having a hard time overcoming this though. Then you need to find someone you trust, a Christian brother or sister in the Lord, and work together, have an accountability, and overcome. Because we can do that with the Lord's help and with the help of one another. So, choose your worst fault and confess it to the Lord, so that your heart can have a rest. There's not that churning because of your guilt. The third way to give your heart a vacation is to choose your most common irritation and let it go. Now, 1 Peter 4:8 says this, it's up on the screen. It says, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Now, if someone is sinning against you, Matthew 18 talks about how we need to go and talk to that person one-on-one in a loving way and try to reconcile that. But there are sometimes things that just kind of irritate us. They're not necessarily sinful, but they just kind of bug us. You ever have anything like that? I've been driving a lot. Yesterday, I was coming to church down Vestal Road here from my house. I got behind someone who was going 23 miles an hour. I said, the speed limit's 30. But that's the limit, right? It's supposed to be the limit. So 23 is okay. So I said, calm down. You're doing all right. So he got to a little knoll. Actually got going up to 28. I go, whoa, great. We're making progress. Up the hill, 21. Yeah. I said, and then sometimes you ever have this happen, you know, you're driving down, somebody pulls out in front of you and they don't speed up as fast as you're going. Why are you doing that? You know? And then I begin to think, you know what, sometimes I do that. I do that sometimes. I probably frustrate somebody behind me. I try not to. And then those other times on the highway, ever have somebody do this? They pass you and they pull over and then they slow down. You ever have that happen? Oh, I think that bugs me the most. Because I have it on cruise, you know. And here this person whizzed by you, and all of a sudden, and then, oh, come on now. You know. There's other things. What bugs you, though? What bugs you? What kind of, it isn't necessarily right or wrong, but it's something that just kind of bugs you. And you know, I saw this again yesterday. I was waiting out here to pull onto Vestal Road, and I saw this pickup truck, two wheels on the road and two wheels on the sidewalk. And my thinking was, he must have been impatient, that's the word of mine. And somebody was waiting to turn left, and they just drove up on the sidewalk to get around him. You've had this too. People whiz by you, and then they stop at a red light, and you catch up to them. They didn't get any farther than you did. I said, you know, if I keep calm, not worried, does it get me riled up? Doesn't get my stress level up. Just stay calm. Let it go. Let it go. Give your heart a break and just let it go. So, I don't know what bugs you. Maybe nothing bugs you. I don't know. Whether it's person that you're living with, or people that we live with, or people that you work with, just give them a break. Let it go. Give your heart a vacation. The fourth thing to give your heart a vacation is to choose your most enjoyable pleasure and do it. Now, I'm not talking about sin, something that's wrong, but something that you really enjoy. Take a break and do it. 1 Timothy 6:17, Paul writes to Timothy and says, "Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment." See, God has given us things to enjoy. Now, that can be a surprise to some people, because some people think Christians are always, you know, they're down. You can't be happy. If you're happy, there's something wrong. No, we can enjoy the pleasures of life that God has given us. So, to give us a vacation heart, go, like, you know, I'm planning to go with my family to vacation to Daytona Beach. I might think of you once or twice during the week or so, you know. But, you know, just having that time of relaxation, doing things that we like, go to the beach and maybe we'll play miniature golf, maybe we'll just take a nap. I like those sometimes. Read a book, spend time with people, or do something that you really enjoy. Playing golf or hiking or biking, pick it and do it. Have a relaxing time. God gives us these things for us to enjoy, and so do that. The fifth thing, way you can give your heart a vacation, is choose your most bothersome question and find the truth. I want to spend a little bit more time here. This was my addition here. Choose your most bothersome question and find the truth. I'm talking about those questions that come to mind when you're reading God's Word, or when somebody speaks or somebody teaches from God's Word, or you're reading something. I've found, as I'm studying God's Word, that I come to a passage and I go, man, that's hard to understand. That's tough, difficult, and I don't come to a conclusion. So I look in commentaries, and you know what happens? They skip it too. They don't know the answer. 9 out of 10 times. Have you found that? Some of these guys that have preached before, I say, yep. They just skip it because they don't know the answer. So I feel good. I'm kind of in good company in a sense. But, you know, there's questions that can be answered. And here's one of them. A man at Willow Point, I was visiting, this is a few years ago. He might have come to one of the services, because I'm a chaplain over there, and Wednesday afternoon before COVID at 3 o'clock we would have in-person service. And this past Monday, the activities director texted me and said, would you like to have an in-person service this week? I said, great, because I've been a TV preacher lately. I connect with them with Zoom, and they see me. I can't see them, but they can see me. I said, great, yes, Wednesday morning. Well, Tuesday I bought hats, party hats, some noisemakers, some snacks, because we were going to celebrate, because what I was teaching at the time, I've been going through the parable of the prodigal son, and we were going to celebrate. That's where my lesson was. What a great fit. Wednesday morning, I contacted her, and she's sorry, canceled. Somebody tested positive. Not a resident, one of the staff. And I go, really? Yeah, really. So, but I visited this man. I think he came to a service, and I went to his room, and I said, started talking to him, and I said, you know, if you're not really, I don't know who said this, you're not really living unless you learn something new every day. And I go, great, yeah. Would you like to study the Bible? And he goes, no. I go, okay. How come? He says, well, when I was about 13 or 14, I went to my minister, and I asked my minister, why should I believe the Bible? That's a good question. And the minister said, just because you should. Terrible answer. I don't know if there's a worse answer than that. And because he felt there was not an answer, he said it's not important. He had a bad heart. He told me at least one time he felt these palpitations coming, and he didn't want to drive around here to the hospitals here, went to Sarah, and as he was walking into the hospital, he passed out. Obviously, they revived him, and he's in the nursing home. And he had an episode. He went to the hospital. I visited him in the hospital. I took a little pamphlet, A Bridge to God, or Peace, Steps to Peace with God, and I handed it to him, and I said, would you be willing to read that? He says, yeah, maybe, right, not now. And a day or two later, I realized that he had passed away. And I thought, okay, I hope he read that. I hope he understood that God's Word has a message of importance for him. So when we're reading God's Word and we come up with questions, it's important that we not just discard them, but we try to find an answer. There are a lot of people, there are a good number of people who are turning away from their faith because of various reasons. And it's called deconstruction at the time. This is a term that you might hear. Why are people turning away from their faith? At one point they were followers of Jesus and now they're not. And one of the reasons that I've discovered is this. They've said, I've been following the Lord for X number of years, trying to do what He wants me to do, serve where He wants me to serve. And all of a sudden, I come up with this, something negative, whether it's within themselves or somebody they know, and it's like, why is God doing this to me? I thought if I followed Him and served Him, He would bless me. But instead, He's causing bad things to happen. That's a question in the Old Testament. Why do the righteous suffer? And so because of that, their thinking is this. If God is my Father on earth would never do this to me. So why would my Heavenly Father do this? My earthly Father wouldn't treat me this way. Why would God treat me this way if He's a loving God? So they turn their back on Him. Well, you know, there's many biblical. I'm going to talk to one point one out is the Apostle Paul served the Lord for many, many years. And yet, 2 Corinthians 12 talks about there was a thorn in the flesh. He had something that God put in his life that was a bothersome thing, whether it was physical or something else. We're not really totally sure, but something was a hindrance to him. Something negative was happening to him. And he asked the Lord three times to remove it, and God didn't. God didn't. Someone here today, and maybe more than one, but one that I know has served the Lord many, 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 many years. And recently discovered they have cancer. And it's aggressive cancer. One that needs not just radiation, but another type of treatment that has not so good side effects. And that person could say, "Why, God, why are you doing this? I've served you 50 some years. My wife has served alongside me all that time as well. Why are you doing this?" The person I'm talking about is Pastor Blasco. When I was talking to him, he said, "This is what I want people to pray for." And it's the answer that God gave the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5. He says, "My grace is sufficient for you." My grace is sufficient. God helps us through those difficult times. And matter of fact, the New Testament never promises that if we follow the Lord in this life, He's going to bless us all the time. Matter of fact, it actually kind of tells the opposite. We're going to face trials and temptations when we follow the Lord. Partly because that's not where the devil wants us to be. He wants us to turn away from the Lord. He wants us to divert ourselves. He wants to try to stop the process of people coming to know the Lord. And if you can be an example, if the devil can have you be an example of turning away from the faith because of hard times, because of challenging times, then that would be a success. So, we want to answer these questions. Whatever question you might have, it might be about this library of books. How did we get this? How can we know this is from God? Because so many people are challenging that concept these days and saying, it's not really from God. We can't trust this. Or some other question that you might have. We need to find the truth. There's a great example of this in the book of Acts. It says in Acts chapter 17, Paul and Silas were in Thessalonica. And they were being persecuted by some of the Jews. And so the believers in Thessalonica kind of got Paul and Silas out of the city secretly. And they went down to the next city, which was Berea. And it says there, it says, that very night, the believers sent Paul and Silas to Berea. When they arrived there, they went to the Jewish synagogue, which is what their normal practice was. And the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica. And they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. What a great quality. They just didn't take the word of Paul and Silas. They said, "Hey, we got to check this out. When we speak up here and we teach God's word, if you have a question, you need to check it out." They searched the scripture day after day to see if it was the truth. And that's where we need to find, isn't it? What is the truth? I've been listening to some podcasts by Sean McDowell, Josh McDowell's son. And one of the programs, he shares that he was traveling with his dad one time. He did it several times, but this one time he was traveling with his dad. And they were in the hotel room, and he said this something like this to his dad. He says, "Dad, I'm not sure I believe everything you do. Everything that you believe." And of course, Josh has written tons of books, and one of them is Evidence That Demands a Verdict and More Than a Carpenter. And his dad said this to him. He says, "Sean, it's great that you're having questions, even some doubts. Search out and find the truth." He didn't react by saying, "What? You don't believe this? Why? What's wrong with you?" No, he says, asking questions is a good thing. Find out what's true. Dig till you find the truth. We can find the truth in God's Word. We can find those important answers in God's Word. Now, there's some answers I don't know the answer to. I was asked a question this past week. I said, I don't know the answer to that. It wasn't real important. It was one of those kind of incidental things. And the question was, why in the New Jerusalem in heaven, as you read the rest of Revelation, there's walls in the New Jerusalem? Because walls generally in the Middle East and the Bible times, walls were to keep the bad people out, keep enemies out, keep sin out. And since it's a new world, heaven and earth, why would you need a wall to keep sin out of y'all? I don't know. Don't know the answer. There's no sin in the new world. Maybe it's just to show the magnificence of God. That's a guess. But the answer to that isn't going to change what Christ has done for me. It's not going to change the important facts that God loves us and He cares for us. And Jesus came to die on the cross for us. And last week we heard a lot about who Jesus is, and maybe that stirred up some questions. So just go to Mike, he's got all the answers, you know. But that was an important concept. That's an important concept. Because that's being challenged today too. Is this person Jesus really? Was he God? Or did people make him into God? A really important question. So we need to search the Scriptures to find the answers and ask for help at times for understanding. Psalm 25:5 says, lead me by your truth and teach me. For you are the God who saves me. All day long I put my hope in you. Lead me to your truth and teach me. It's a great way to get a vacation from the heart, is to get those questions answered. And then the sixth way to give your heart a vacation is to make a list of God's blessings and review it. Review it. How often do we get discouraged? I have a feeling we do fairly often at times. And maybe it's not for a long time. Sometimes people get discouraged for a long time. And it can lead to depression and other things. But we all have short periods of time, at least, that we get kind of discouraged. Things aren't going my way. Things don't seem to be happening well. And we kind of dwell on things that we don't have, you know, and wish we would have, and see other people. How did they get a $2 million house? I don't know, you know. I watched that program about, buying a house. Sometimes you watch some of that. And I go, this is a young couple with three kids. How can they afford a $1.5 million house? I don't know. Do they have a good job? I don't know. Did they rob the bank? I don't know. But I just think, but I have to, okay, hey, a house is something of this world, isn't it? It's not something that's going to last. And it's not that we can't be thankful for the things we have, huh? Psalm 100 talks, enter his gates with thanksgiving. When the nation of Israel, when the people of Israel were climbing the mountain to the temple, this is one of the songs they would sing. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise, give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. Those were some of the things that they would sing about. And they'd sing about this one too, Psalm 92, 1 and 2. It says, it's good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning, your faithfulness in the evening. What a way to end the evening, isn't it? As you're falling asleep, just say, Lord, thank you for this day. It might not have gone exactly what I wanted, but, you know, I can pick out some good things. You were always there for me. You helped me through this time, through this interview, or through this dealing with my coworker, or dealing with my children, or with my spouse, you know. And we can rest a lot easier that way, can't we? And then in the New Testament, we can also remember the things that He has given us. Ephesians 1 is a great beginning of this letter that Paul writes. He says, Ephesians 1 verse 3, it says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. You know, as you go, keep reading through that chapter, you'll find what some of these spiritual blessings are. And these spiritual blessings can never go away. It's not something we can lose. And part of that is that we're joint heirs with Christ. We have forgiveness of sin. We have joy. We have peace because of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we start writing down that list of things that we have in this world that don't last, but the things that we have in Christ, it can be innumerable. And we can be encouraged by that. We can give our heart a vacation. We can say, hey, you know, some of these things aren't as important as I thought they might be. Thank you, Lord, for what you've given me. Thank you for those things that I have in Christ as a follower of Him. It's my privilege to do what I did this morning. Just to help people take that next step in following the Lord. Letting other people know, you know, I've trusted the Lord as my Savior. I'm following Him. That's my goal. And I want you to know about that. Maybe you need to take that next step too. Maybe you've never done that. To make that decision to follow Him in baptism. Psalm 103 says, let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart I will praise His holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. Those are great verses to remember. Just to read from time to time how great God is and what He's given for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. So, when we recall and remember these things, and we continue to learn about what God has for us, it can give us a calmness of spirit, a calmness of the heart. I want to end with one last thing. It's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. You know, as Jesus taught the people in that day, they recognized, you know, He's teaching differently than the scribes and the Pharisees. There's something different about Him. He teaches with authority, but He also teaches things that are different than the Pharisees and the scribes. What did the scribes and Pharisees teach? They taught, you need to keep the law. You need to keep all of these rules. You need to keep not just the Ten Commandments, but all those other things that we've developed for you. And, you know, the people took that in and they looked at the scribes and the Pharisees and said, man, we got to be like them. If we want to be right with God, we got to be like them. And Jesus came along and He just decimated that idea. Because he told the people that scribes and Pharisees are like white sepulchers. Nice looking on the outside, white, but inside it's smelly. In other words, their heart was far from God. Their motives were wrong. They had a self-centered feeling, idea of motivation, of doing those things. It wasn't for God, it was for themselves. And Jesus said, you can't keep the law. The law wasn't made for that. The law was to bring you to the God, to show that you need a Savior, and I'm your Savior. Come to me, all you that are burdened and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Now, I don't know where you are in your spiritual life. I don't know if you're a follower of Jesus. But, you know, oftentimes when we realize as unbelievers the burden we bear, the sin that we have before God, and that we're accountable to God for our sin, it can be a burden. It can weigh us down. People live through life with guilt in their lives, and they don't know how to deal with it, and they try to go to psychologists and psychiatrists and try to get rid of it, and they can't until they come to Jesus Christ. He will give us rest when we come to Him. Not to a set of rules, but to a person. That's why we encourage the goal of leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Wherever you are in your walk with Him. We want to grow in that relationship with Him. And we want to recognize that we can grow in love toward Him. His love is unconditional toward us. We can't do things to make Him love us more. And we can't really sin and have Him love us less. Now, that's not a thing, that's not a ticket to go out and do whatever you want. No. But it's just the fact that we can't earn His love. But He gives that invitation to come. To me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest upon your souls. When we follow the Lord and the Lord comes alongside us, we're yoked with the Lord, He helps us do what He wants us to do. He helps us through the difficult times. He helps us do what He encourages us to do, is to make more disciples, to be a person that God wants us to be, to help us to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ, so others see Christ in us. So this morning, I hope that you can have a vacation for the heart, as well as a physical vacation. Those are good, but take some time to just say, all right, Lord, how can I have a vacation? How can I settle my heart? How can I calm my heart? What's been bothering me? How can I turn to you? And with these suggestions, let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for a great morning. Thank you for the way in which we were able to sing and give praise to you. Thank you for Rick and Mary Claire and their testimony toward us, toward you and for us, and how you've worked in their lives. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunities we have to take physical rest for vacations. And Lord, thank you for the fact that we can have rest of our souls, rest of our hearts when we come to you and understand the importance of our relationship with you and how you readily want to keep our relationship fresh, whether it's because of sin or just some things that bother us or just questions we have. Lord, we pray that you would continue to teach us, help us to learn your truth, help us to reflect you in our lives to those around us as we follow you. Give us a good rest of the week. I pray again for this week of Vacation Bible School for each one that's working. I pray that this week will be a week where we can influence children and families for you, that we can help them draw closer to you. We ask this all in your name. Amen. Thank you for coming this morning. Have a great week.